In Proverbs chapter 18, which is page 516 in the red book that you see in your seat. We call that the Bible. But as always, I'll throw everything up on the screen for you so you can follow along with me that way also. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, you want to know something, you want to ask a question about theology, you want to ask a question about life, you want to ask a question about how much butter to put in macaroni and cheese. Text, call, email me. I love to have these kind of conversations. Anything you want to talk about, I love to have that kind of conversations. I get some really great questions throughout the week and questions that challenge me, and so I love that opportunity. And so you see the information on the screen, but it's also in your handout. Right after today's worship, right after this worship gathering, we're going to have a brief, very brief membership meeting. So if you're a member of this congregation, I encourage you to stay back. We need to start picking leaders for next year, so we need to kind of help create those people and find those people who are going to help us pick the leaders for next year. So just a brief meeting right after worship. We'll be right here in this section right over here. So if you could just stay back and it'll go as fast as you want it to go. So that, I'm just telling you that right now. Last week, we did the car show last week. Oh, it was so much fun. Such a great car show. Now, Dave Circsina, he came to the first worship gathering because he had some things to do and he needed to help out in some other areas. So he was here. But Dave and his team put on a fantastic car show. Can we thank that team for all the work that they did? Just incredible. There were two cars that won. The first car won the popular choice, right? And the first one was this one right here, and it was a Ford Model T. Great car. It was an amazing car. But then you had the pastor's pick, and the pastor's pick was this really cool one that had wheels. And no, this was a Ford, 1950 Ford convertible, and so a beautiful car and just an amazing thing. So it was a great thing. And here's what I was talking to the, oh yeah, that's the one I wanted to pick. Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But here's what I loved about this, because I got to talk to the car guys afterwards, and some of them have called me this week and have talked to me. They thought this was the very best car show they have ever been a part of. Like, they've been a part of a lot of car shows, and they said this was so well organized. There were so many people out there, and it was, you know, everybody was happy and having a great time, and they loved all of the just the interaction that we had. And what I love most about that is that they did this car show. Most of them have never had a car show on a congregation building's campus, right? On a congregational campus. It's never been a car show right out here. And they got to experience this incredible fun right here, places that they probably would never have gone in the first place. And so I'm very proud of you all as our congregation. I'm proud of what God is doing and how he's working. So keep those kind of things up, and thank you for just these incredible people for the work they've done. What's that? And the dunk tank, yes, I was in the dunk tank.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that was, I had to shout. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I had to shower five times that day after being in the dunk tank. It was really good. All right, so we are in this series called Freedom, as Stacy told you about. And this is our Bible verse that we're using, Galatians chapter 5. What does it say? It says, it is for what? Freedom, right? That Christ has set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again to slavery to the law. Because we're meant to live lives of freedom. We're not supposed to be held back. But what many of us try to do is we try to make our list of Christian activities, religious activities that we think if we check off this list, then God's going to look at us and say, you've been a very good boy today. Or, hey, you're my favorite little girl. Or what? I mean, that's what we think. And no, God doesn't work that way. A task-oriented way of living over a Jesus-oriented way of living is not how God calls us to. As a matter of fact, God says that following Jesus is freedom to live the best life that you can possibly live. Because the mission of God is not about conquering the world with some kind of religious system. It's all about transformation. When Jesus came into this world, he had one message to us. Follow me and I'll change your life. That's the message that he has for each of us. As a matter of fact, this is what he says in John chapter 8. He says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly
free.
Because true freedom is only found in Jesus. Now this week, as we get into our message, we're going to talk about the power that words have. And the power that words have over us. And when we were growing up, there was this phrase that we would use. It would be, sticks and stones can break my bones. And what's the rest? And words would never hurt me. And we would say that because somebody would insult us, or they'd call us, you know, something, some weird kind of crazy insult, and we would say that. But that's not a true statement, is it? Because we do get hurt by words. Many of us have been hurt by the words of others a lot, whether it's an insult, comments about our appearance or our intelligence, criticisms of our jobs, school, what sport we play, maybe our hobby and whether or not we're any good at that. Even confident people like myself are hurt when others share words that they attack our insecurities. Because the words we use carry weight with them. Words are important because how we communicate to one another is very important. Now, there are multiple ways that words are used. I want to make sure we understand this. You have the audible word, which is what's happening right now. You can hear it. I'm saying it out loud. That's the audible word. But then you also have sign language. That's a way of communicating with words. Or you have the written word, which is a way of communicating with words. Or you have social media. We communicate with words on social media all the time, don't we? Sometimes not so good, right? We do that. You have text messaging. You have emails. Or we've always said that actions speak what? Louder than words, right? See, these are ways that words are communicated. And there is power in words. Communicators like myself, we understand the power of words. For instance, if I were to start saying some of these incredible lines, incredible speeches over the course of our history, you would understand exactly where that speech came from and what that speech was about. If I were to say 87 years ago, you know that, right? You know where that comes from. Or if I were to say, and so my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, and you know how to finish the rest of that type of thing. Or when that one guy, he stood up in front of millions of people and he said, I have a dream. You know what's really cool about that one? And this is how powerful words can be. Because I'm a big fan of Martin Luther King Jr. And one of the things that I know about this speech, this I have a dream speech, is it wasn't supposed to be the I have a dream speech. He originally was supposed to speak on Washington at that particular day. He was speaking at the march, and he was sitting down getting ready, and they were introducing him, they were talking to him. And 5 minutes before the speech, he's looking over and he just writes down these words, I have a dream. He had not planned to use those words, but he wrote them down on his piece of paper and he got up to give a speech, and then every time it felt right, he would holler out, I have a dream. Talk about powerful words. Talk about how words can change our lives. As a matter of fact, words are so powerful that God spoke and the world began. Right? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 3, 6, 9, 14, 20, 24, 26, and 29, every one of those verses starts with, then God said, and the world came into being. Or as this verse says, Genesis 1:31, after God had said all these amazing words, he looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And so what we know from this is that words can both be something that can hurt us and tear us down, or they can be something that bring life into this world, because words are powerful tools which yield the blessings of God or the curses of humanity. And our choice today is whether or not we're going to use words in a way that blesses humanity and introduces everyone to the life of freedom found in Jesus. Or are we going to use words to destroy our relationships and withhold the rich and satisfying life found in Jesus? To help us with that today, I've invited a few of our friends. This is our elder group, some of our elders, to come up here and to share with us some thoughts behind this book of the Bible that we call Proverbs. So if I could ask my elders to come on up here right now. That's these good-looking guys. Look at them all standing up. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, you can clap for them. All right, good. Yeah, see, yeah, we're going to clap for them. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's you too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. When I said good-looking guy, that was you too. Yeah. So our elders are coming this way. And what we're going to do right now is we have to understand how Proverbs works. Proverbs, when you look at the book of Proverbs, it's composed of these sayings. It's composed of these axioms or general knowledge that are brief. And it's not a narrative. Like, It's like when you would sit down with your old uncle over coffee or something, okay? And you'd sit down there and your uncle would look at you and he'd just spout out some words out of nowhere about a saying that was a really good saying. Or you know, you'd be sitting there and he'd go, "You know, life is like a box of chocolates." Thanks, uncle, right? Thanks, Forrest. All right, so, but I mean, that's what Proverbs are kind of like. Now, the difference between Proverbs and our uncle is that Proverbs are also filled with the wisdom of God. And so we're going to learn how the words that we have need to have the wisdom that is in there. And so these gentlemen are going to show us that the goal through Proverbs is to bring us into an ethical guidance. Proverbs, they don't always follow a specific pattern, but they provide the wisdom for living a life of freedom, the rich and satisfying life found in Jesus. Now, I've told each of them they have 3 minutes apiece, and I'm going to time them. I've got a timer right here. So I'll be timing them, and when they get past that three-minute mark, I'm going to hit the buzzer. Meh, right? I want to hear everybody do that. Ready? I'm not going to make them do that. Don't worry. But that was fun that you all did that. I'm very happy about that. All right, so we're going to start with our first proverb. Our first proverb is this. I'm grabbing a mic here. I think I'm on the blue mic. Blue mic. All right. Our first proverb is this, Proverbs 18:4. It says, "Wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook." Now I'm going to ask Jim. Jim, you've got some wise words to go along with this proverb here?
God does.
God does? All right. Yes.
This is from the ESV version. I don't know who has what. I know I can pull it up, but translation. And then it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light." The words that we use, the words that we should use, I should say, are the ones that should be uplifting, life-giving, and really blessing us all. As we look at the verse of subject, I want to read that same verse out of the...
You're going to do that again?
Yes.
He did this this morning because I don't hold the mic right again.
Okay? There, perfect. All right.
But I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And this is verse Proverbs 18:14. It says, "The words of a discreet and wise man's mouth are as deep waters, plenteous and difficult to fathom. And the fountain of spiritual and godly wisdom is as a gushing stream, sparkling, fresh, pure, and life-giving." If we speak words that do build people up, lives will be changed. As Pastor Jack said, we can speak words of encouragement, life-giving, or we can speak words of discouragement. Most of us were affected in our lives from words that were spoken to us, and most of us may have affected lives that we spoke words to other people. What this verse tells me is God has given us a very deep, whole well of His words that we are to share and that we are to speak. We have the Holy Spirit who will bring those words to us. He can give us new words today. God is not in us. So as we talk in our families, as we share with our friends, our co-workers, if we don't think before we speak, we can use words that cannot hurt. When we have situations in our families, a couple of right words can make a difference, and they can change the relationships we have within our families. And the words we speak don't only affect us, our family, but anybody that we come in contact with. People watch what we do, what we say, and the words that we use will affect them even though we may not even know. So when we do talk, let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring those words out, to bless God and to bless us, because we're actually doing something with the gift that God's given us. That gift is for His purpose and His benefit, and for us to really grow. So when we do participate in anything, here in church, out in the world, we need to realize that people are really wanting to hear words like that. Most of us don't want to be ejected from words that people put us down with. So when we do seek, we need to really pray about it. Be, as the scripture says, slow to speak, but are slow to talk and listen, to be able to listen and then to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Let the words we speak really glorify. When we walk out here today, when we are out where we're at, let God's words come from us. We are the wellspring of His words that He's given us to talk to the world. So the world is looking for that fresh life, that the living word that would encourage them. So when we really use those words, we'll see the world change, not just people around us.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. So Jim talked about this idea that we need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And Proverbs 18:13, so let's just jump to Proverbs 18:13 there. It says this, spouting off before listening to the facts. Anybody here guilty of that? Okay, no, don't raise your hand. It's all right. I mean, I am too. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Rick? I'm not saying this verse fits you, but do you want to share a little bit about this? You want to share something?
I think that this verse
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Donna, I didn't hear an amen out of that. Is that ever happen? I mean, I don't know. But you said, Rick, you said that in short, God wants us to listen to him in order to share great words, right? Because it's helpful for you as an individual. Is that correct? Yeah. So let's look at Proverbs 18:20. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Tom, can you share a little bit about this? What does it mean to satisfy like a good meal?
Now, if you need to give something,
and more than just satisfaction to ourselves, but mm-hmm. words, as we're talking about, they are powerful things.
Yes.
And so this next proverb, then the last one we're going to look at here is Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk, that's me, will reap the consequences. So Louis, explain this to somebody like me who loves to talk. What is this verse all about?
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything. All right.
Thank you. says a word properly spoken is like apples of gold in a sack of silver. Mm-hmm. It's pleasant. So when you encounter someone next time, look what kind word you say. And be pleasant.
That's great. Let's thank you. Let's give all these guys a great big hand for the work they did. Man, you need to know how hard it is to talk for only 3 minutes. Right? That's not easy to do. That's why I take 45. So I'm very impressed with them that they were able to get through this. You know, Louis, you set us up. Louis, which direction? There he is. Louis, you set us up really well for this next part. And here's where we're going to close with today. Enhance those around you with words of freedom, right? Just like the guy, just like the preacher was going to do as he was going to that conference, you need to enhance those around you with words of freedom. Look what James chapter 3, verse 2 says. It says, if we could control our tongues, right? I would control our words. We would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And then James spends a ton of time talking to us about the power of our words and how they can bring life, how it could be like a spark of a fire that's either going to nourish us or it's going to destroy us, how it's like a wild animal that's extremely hard to tame, or how it can be a spring of water that is refreshing, right? Because the words matter. It's part of the reason why you hire me to be your pastor. Can you imagine if I didn't put any thought or energy into what I share with you? Sermon, counseling, conversation, Bible study. You'd begin to wonder, why are you even around here? Because how we speak to one another is incredibly important. How you talk to one another determines the value of your faith. Look what James chapter 1, verse 26 says. It says, if you claim to be religious, so if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, but you don't control your tongue, you are only fooling yourself, and your religion is what? That's right, because of the power of our words, it's worthless. The way you speak to each other gives worth to what it means to be connected with God. The value of freedom is on display through the words that you use. It's a vocal representation of the rich and satisfying life found in Jesus. So make sure that the words you are using are making this world a better place. And the easiest way to remember this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody tends to know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because it's the love passage, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is wonderful, love is blah, 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 right? It's that passage, right? We know those from where it comes into our weddings. But here's what it says at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't what? Love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, right? Words of love are what going to enhance the world and bring life into this world. This week in your Freedom Small Groups, you're going to learn more about this, how our spiritual lives are gauged by these incredible words that we use and how we can use our words to bring life into someone's life. All right, so allow God's words to you to be the inspiration you need to share life with others. Now here's part of the problem. You ready? Let's go back to the beginning of the message a little bit. Words can and do hurt us. See, what ends up happening to many of us a lot of times is that we become conditioned to believe that the words that are said to us that are hurting us, that we actually think they're true. We become conditioned and we think those are true words. When somebody says you're ugly or idiot or worthless, horrible, you'll never amount to anything. And you just fill in the blank. And when this happens, when we become conditioned by these words, it's hard to be someone who shares words of life and love and freedom with others. So what do? We perpetuate the cycle. We perpetuate this cycle that is happening, and we repeat the same words that have been said to us to others, thereby hurting others, thereby not bringing life, but bringing destruction. See, God has a better plan than that. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 12. It says, let God transform, right? That's a great word. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Right? Somebody may have told you you're ugly. Somebody may have told you you're worthless. Somebody may have told you you're an idiot. That doesn't matter because God has something different for you. He doesn't want you to think that way. He wants to transform you into a new person. And it goes on to say, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So how we're going to end today is we're going to end with God's words to you. So you should know that the words that you can give, the words that you can share are words of life. But as Pastor Tom pointed out, and as Jim pointed out, and as Rick and Louie pointed out, unless we are sharing the words of God with others, we will never truly be able to share words of life. So listen to God's words to you and to who you are.
This is his love letter.
How was it? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, that you are our God. We thank you for the words that are spoken to us by you. And God, as we attempt to go out into this world, as we attempt to do what you have called us to do, may we take the words that you have given us and may we share those words with all who are out there. God, for those of us who have been hurt, who are filled with pain by words that have been spoken that are not true, words that do not really reflect who you've designed us to be, may we hear your words, and may we allow your words to show us that we are valuable, we are loved, and we are cared for. And God, forgive us of the times that we have not used our words properly. And now will you help us to be people who use the words that you have given us to share life with those around us. We thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we ask this. Amen. Will you stand with me as we close out today? So you have a choice today. You can go and you can share words that do nothing, words that destroy, words that do not bring life to others. Or you can choose to go today and you can choose to share words of life. You can look at somebody and you can say, hey, you're kind of cool. You could look at me and say that if you want to. Thanks. Let me share with you one more thing. I did a funeral this week of a guy that I did not know, and I only got to know him for about an hour and a half as I sat with the family and learned about this gentleman. His name was Ed, and I got to tell you, I wish I would have known Ed for years, because Ed, as I'm sitting in the funeral and listening to the people talk about Ed, like when they get up and they share their stories. They shared stories about Ed because he changed their life by the words that he used with them.